The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, we're live at Flowery Branch. Mike and I are headed to Washington, D.C. for Army Navy. Tomorrow we'll be there bringing you the show, and we already know we got a bunch of guests that are going to stop by. A-listers and guys, you don't want to miss the show tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of fun. I will tell you guys this. One guy that we're scheduled to talk to, and we look forward to it, is Mike Mayock. Mike, and you know, with all this Belichick conversation and Mayock with his front office background, obviously he was the Raiders, and then he got let go. We loved him on NFL Network for many years. I'm curious to know what he thinks about this whole situation with Belichick. Yeah. You were breaking it down there and guy talk with the contract and everything.
Yeah, man. And by the way, Mike Mayock, one of our favorite guests, and I do we even ask about what happened with the Raiders?
Have to.
You realize that Cleland Farrell was the craziest bust pick in like recent memory?
He was a big dude, but couldn't play.
I mean, but nobody had him even remotely in the top 10, let alone the top 15, or some would say the top 20. And that's a draft that produced Montez Sweat and a bunch of other studs. But anyway, we'll get into his breakdown of this year's class and sort of see what he thinks about some of the Georgia Bulldogs as well.
Oh, yeah, but we're looking forward to it. We're going to talk to a bunch of guys.
Ron Rivera is scheduled to join us.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun, man. And then the game itself is a lot of fun. And speaking of the game, just a quick reminder, Hawks are playing Saturday now after winning last night. So Army-Navy was going to be on our radio station. We're going to put it on our sister station, WAOK, as the Hawks are scheduled to play at 4:30 against Milwaukee, which we'll talk more about. If you're just getting in the car, have your access in the show. Thank you for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station and its number one sports show, Dukes and Bell. Let's talk about what Raheem Moore said to us today. Now, we'll replay this for you coming up next hour, but we were focused on trying to get more answers in regards to the mindset of what will it take for you to maybe make a change? Are you even willing to make a change? If you're not, why not? And so, Mike, you said you weren't necessarily satisfied with one of the answers you got in regards to down and distance and how he was going for it on fourth down. But what did you think about his Kirk Cousins comment?
I mean, look, at the end of the day, they're going to ride and die with Kirk Cousins. It doesn't make a lot of sense to anyone outside of Atlanta. I don't think it should make any sense to you guys right now listening, because you've provided a viable option for a piece that's malfunctioned. I said to Coach in the interview here at coming up after 6, I said, look, you know, if somebody on the line goes down, Storm Norton comes in.
Yeah.
If somebody can't throw a touchdown for 4 weeks and throws 8 picks, somebody else should come in. You know, and we've seen other rookie quarterbacks, some thrown right into the fire and have stepped up. Nobody save for Bo Nix had more experience coming out of college than Michael Penix Jr. Yes, I know it's a leap from the college game to the pros. We don't underestimate that. But with our run game and our ability to do some of the things we've been able to do this year, it's not like you're throwing a guy in, like, okay, throw the rookie in, the season's over. No, this is to save the season. So unless Kirk Cousins can find his mojo, and we've already asked Coach previous weeks, how do you help him? How does Zach help him? They don't really seem to have answers. But one thing we do know for sure is you're not going to see Michael Penix Jr. Now, Carl, if we lose this game, we'll have to have this conversation again with Coach, because then you're saying you're going to have to say, I can't fix Kirk Cousins, and whatever this is, it's not a slump. Kirk Cousins apparently has gone off the deep end. And I don't know. We've only seen this guy, you know, for one season.
He's gone off the deep end.
No, I mean, here, take a listen. Here's Raheem. Here's part of the answer. Take a listen.
You don't want to be that organization, right? We've seen that before, right? We've got numerous amount of examples when quarterbacks have gotten thrown out there and been an up and down roller coaster organization, right? You want to remain steadfast and find ways to win, right? You started off with a plan. We have a plan. I love the plan. The plan is where we're at, right? Penix is our future, and he is a good-looking future. He is bright because I can understand the excitement behind everybody and wanting to do those things. But, like, Kurt, we said, is out right now, and he's out right now to figure us out how to get through the season and win football games and get us in the playoffs. And you can't forget the fact that you're still right here in the hunt, where you're at, and what you'll be doing. Is he in a slump? Have we had bad games? No doubt. But that's the part of the National Football League, right? If you just go up and down and change quarterbacks every 3 weeks, every 4 weeks, you could be some of the organizations you don't want to be. And that's not what we're necessarily interested in being. You know, I believe, you know, Joe Burrow lost a couple games out here, but went out and balled out and went bananas. And, like, I think we got to go out there and we got to find a way to rally around Kurt. We got to get around Kurt. We got to find ways to get it better. And I got a lot of confidence that he's going to get it better. And I got a lot of confidence in the guys that's around him that's going to play a lot better and do some different things as well.
So there is, and that's Coach Raheem Morris here on Dukes and Bell earlier today, there is a tipping point in every situation. And for me, I don't know about you, but that was the tipping point last week because I really thought he'd go back to a place where he felt really comfortable, had a lot of success, and would play a lot better. The irony is he played better. He didn't play great. He played better based on the four interceptions he threw the week before, but he didn't necessarily play great. And so the tipping point is the question. I mean, like, Mike, I hear Coach Raheem Morris, and I respect it. Like, what he's saying, and he is being steadfast with his resolution on, this is how we're going to handle this. And I'm sorry you guys don't like it. And he's not saying that to Mike and I or the fan base.
And I don't like it either, but that's the position.
That's his position, and that's what he's saying. I'm sorry you don't like my answer, but this is how we're going to handle it. But what is the tipping point? And to me, that is the question. So you're now telling me after four games and no touchdowns that that was not enough. No. And that if we lose to the Raiders now, after 5 weeks, it'll be the tipping point. Well, what's changed?
Well, that's just it. I mean, there's really no – I mean, there's consistency with his position, but there's no logic to the argument. I mean, you know, Jake Browning is the backup for Joe Burrow. Okay, that's a – I mean, you can't – that's apples to pineapples, not even apples to oranges. You get into what we've got. We've got – you drafted a guy. The whole idea was, you know, yes, he's too good at talent to pass. Well, he's too good at talent to pass up. Then he's probably ready to step in when the season's on the line. I mean, Terry Fontenot was not answering questions for the media. That's his prerogative. I'd love to see him, you know, talk to us about some of this. Because at the end of the day, you make the coach look like a schnook. Because if you lose to the Raiders, then it becomes obvious. If you start a rookie quarterback over a guy you gave $100 million to, it makes the front office look like they don't know what the hell they're doing. Because everything's blown. But I just felt it's a result-driven business. You're not getting the results, and every other position is up for grabs on this team. If somebody fails or somebody can't get the job, the next man plays. Except for the most important position, that defies logic to me.
404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. And again, I continue to say this. Like, when you are fussing at us about he didn't answer it, no, he did.
And we guys,
you
and,
just don't like it. And that's what it is. I'm sorry.
You'll hear the conversation. We asked him basically three different ways, you know, to get that position out. The other thing, and I was kind of pointed because I said on the air I want to ask him about it, so I did. The inconsistency in the Minnesota game for going for it on fourth down. We've gone for it 12 times. We're 7-12 going for it on fourth down. We get the interception. We stop the...
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vikings, a 3-and-out, and now we get the ball at midfield. We have a 4th-and-7. They jump off sides. 4th-and-2 on our own 47. Let's go for it.
We don't go for it.
We punt the ball, touchback, net 33 yards. And, oh, by the way, add insult to injury, the Vikings go 80 yards, score a touchdown anyway. Yeah. And I didn't like Coach's answer. You'll hear that answer coming up in the 6. It just seems a bit, I don't know, arbitrary. Not analytical in how we're doing this.
Yeah, and he said it was a little bit of feel, it was a little bit of analytics. Either way, you can't go back and change last week's results, but you can change and hopefully impact what's going to happen this week. And, you know, we joked around last week, and it's ha, 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 until it's not. When I said, in big game, and he's like, they're all big games. Well, this one's bigger.
Season's on the line.
This one's bigger.
And nationally, to go from 6-3 in first place with an overwhelming lead in the division to losing to the worst team. It's, you know, the Giants and Raiders are tied for the worst team in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, I don't know if it's going to be Aiden O'Connell. What we're hearing from the Raiders, it sounds like it'll be Aiden O'Connell. If it's Ritter, it's a whole different animal. Real quick, Carl, the injury information just dropped. Jesse Bates was okay today, full participation after missing some practice earlier this week. Charlie Warner is good. Darnell Mooney, though, a little bit limited with a foot injury. Mm. And now, again, it's pushed back a little bit because it's Thursday for Monday night. Matthew Judon just got rest as being a veteran. Zach Harrison back in the mix, but an Achilles. Rook Aroro with an ankle. That's good to hear. And Troy Anderson did not participate with that knee injury. Can't catch a break, man.
No, he can't.
And, you know, guys, I'll be equal opportunity here on this one. Can we start calling Troy Anderson a bust? He can't stay on the freaking field.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the same argument that goes for Pitts, and there was a lot of better players, more established players than Troy Anderson that you leapfrogged to get him as a combine darling. So I hope it changes because we all love Troy, and we showed you that pick six earlier this year against the Saints, but seems like a distant memory, right?
It does. It seems like a long time ago. Coming up, strong arm story of the day. Guy just asked me, you really don't know what's wrong with Cousins. Well, I have my opinions, but for me to definitively tell you, yeah, here's what the problem is, no. And no injury's been reported. I asked you guys earlier this week, is this mental or physical? Guys, I think it's more mental than it is physical.
I think it is.
I think it's more mental.
But a lot of guys have said the ball is not coming out. One of those, you know, those stat sheets.
You
where
know why? He's not trusting.
He doesn't trust. But you know, one of those stat sheets you and I don't understand. Younger people do, where you've got, like, you know, it's the grid, and here's where he is, and apparently he's holding the ball. You know, he's not got enough time. He's got plenty of time. He pats the ball. He double clutches. He's holding onto it so long. I think those balls are getting deflected. How many balls have we seen now blocked at the line of scrimmage?
He double clutched last week and threw an interception. You're double clutching not because of coverage. You're double clutching because of inconsistency in your head about what you're seeing. And I said this, guys. I said this 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. This locking on the Drake thing, man.
It's gotten him burned a lot.
So as much as I love Darnell Mooney, what's up, Darnell? These two guys, he trusts those two guys. He does not trust Pitts. And Bijan is a safety valve.
Right. Like, and when Pitts finally gets open, and when Pitts finally does his job on that seam route, he can't hit him.
Yeah. So I can't answer that question, guys, but I don't know if anybody knows at this point. All I know is it's got to be better on Monday. We're coming back. We're live at Flowery Branches, Dukes and Bell. Look, I never thought we'd be talking about Bill Belichick becoming anything in college, but today he is saying all the right things, including it's a dream come true. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I do not necessarily believe him when he says that it is a dream come true, but I will say, Mike, that this Seth Wickersham article that went in-depth about Belichick's disdain for the NFL, which led him to college football after he felt like the NFL there was no path for him. And some of the teams that even have jobs right now that currently have openings, he did not feel he would be offered those opportunities, which is one of the reasons why he has been exploring this entire time. So, guys, this wasn't a, you know, just a last-minute decision or fly-by-night kind of thing. Mike, he's been talking to people. He's been on Zoom calls. He's been exploring offenses and watching tape on teams and college football. He's been doing all this stuff. So today he gets introduced as the new coach at UNC. And again, the Wickersham article, you said it, the Falcon part of it was very interesting as well.
Now, as we knew, guys, and this was something for guys who really wanted Belichick here back in January, they said, look, yeah, he's the winningest coach of all time, regardless of his recent failures. And to Tom Brady, he's better than anything you're going to roll out. And whatever he wants to do is going to be better than anything your organization can do. So that means that guys that are around Arthur Blank in the brain trust, and Fontenot would say, you know, they maybe push back at it. The article from Wickersham says that Belichick was, quote, bothered by Terry Fontenot's know-it-all attitude. Well, I mean, if you're Belichick and, I mean, anyone is opposite you, you know you're going to move that guy out. You want total control. But it is interesting because if this thing ultimately doesn't pan out with Penix, and then there's no way to market with Belichick because he's never going to coach again in the NFL, but I would love to have been a fly on the wall to see how awkward some of those conversations were as everybody was trying to feel each other out.
Yeah.
And Arthur Blank's people said, you can't do this. And then Bob Kraft says, you don't want to do this.
Belichick's history, by the way, or at least his family's history, ties to UNC, because I know some of you are like, why the hell? His dad coached there from 1953 to 55.
He was an assistant. You see the picture of him as a child sitting in the stands?
Well, they brought it out today as the Chancellor, Lee Roberts, pulled out a copy of the 1954 media guide so that people can get an idea. So there is a connection to the Belichick family and him going there. Now, I want you to hear a couple of things that he said today because, again, this is just a big story around the world of sports because everybody's wondering how he's going to do. Do you think he's going to fail? Do you think he's going to succeed? I think there are going to be challenges that he feels like he's ready for that he's not going to be ready for. When we talk about X's and O's, I will never question that. I will never even question Bill Belichick's ability to teach, Mike. As a player, when you say, hey, this is the technique you need to use or this is what you need to be doing, I'm never going to question that. It's the other stuff that he's not concerned himself with in the NFL that all of a sudden now he's got to concern himself with. You're telling me he's going to be, you know, in his feels when it comes to players coming to him? In the NFL, it is my way or the highway. Get the hell out of here. I'll cut you. It's a business. He's going to try to run this like that. I don't know if he's going to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically the articles that are being written today after the introductory press conference are, and the way he's applied the money they've thrown at him to get the staff and all the pieces in place, is to run it like an NFL team. Basically to be a de facto NFL team, and that's what college football is going to be. You're going to have, if the federal judge signs off on it, I guess what is coming up in June or July, that you're going to have a form of a cap. They still need to work out the details of how much of that comes under the umbrella of just a straight number, or is it name, image, likeness, and whatever. Either way, yeah, if you get the right guys around you, can he win a national championship? I'm not going to say it's impossible. North Carolina has never been a national championship caliber team.
No.
They put guys like Lawrence Taylor in the league, and they've had quarterbacks drafted like Drake May recently, but they've never been considered a school that's ever going to do anything.
Well, I totally agree. Here is Belichick talking about the support he got from UNC alums as this process was going, happening, and then obviously him taking the job.
And I'd say along the way, as kind of things got out, if you will, the amount of support that I got from Carolina grads, former Carolina football players, people that are connected with this university was really overwhelming. And not that I'm any social media expert, because I'm not, but there was an awful lot of, positive feedback from my face and stuff like that, and it was great.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think if you're North Carolina, and I know that they called a bunch of people, okay, prior to getting to Belichick, and I'm sure, Mike, this started, and one day we'll hear somebody probably said, hey, Belichick's dad coached here. Why don't we call him? But they called a bunch of other assistant coaches, and I know for a fact some of them were high-profile guys right now that you know, and other guys were just, hey, up-and-comers. But once Belichick decided, hey, I want to entertain this, it became a real deal. He's 72 years old. Kurt Farron's at Iowa, 69.
Right.
We're talking about the oldest guys in college football. Kyle Whittingham is 65 at Utah.
Yeah.
These are the guys that now you say, okay, well, who's the oldest coach in college football? Belichick is now the oldest head coach in FBS.
Well, you ran a 73-year-old Mac Brown out of here to hire a guy who's going to be 73 in April. So, and then the story about the 400-page manifesto of here's how we're going to do things, he denied that. So I don't know where the hell that story came from.
Well, let's hear it, because we have the audio. We have the audio of him saying, don't believe everything you hear. I don't know if it's true or not, but this was his response.
Yeah, I mean, don't believe everything you read in the papers, all right? I have no idea where that came from. I don't have a 400-page document. I mean, and to think I would just go out handed, I mean, come on, really.
Now, where that came from, if you want to know where that ever got to the media, is from some booster who thought this was a stupid idea and said, Belichick's got a list of demands that's 400 pages long. And whether it was hyperbole or not, so Bill just threw cold water on that. But he does have an interesting buyout, and you and I were talking about this. This $1 million goes from $10 million, and it goes down to $1 million after. Yeah. So I was just texting with Rusty, and Rusty goes, I've never seen that in a contract that quick. And my first thought was $10 million maybe to keep him out of the NFL hiring cycle this year, and then after that, what? It's hard to wrap your head around that one, isn't it?
Well, unless there were specifics about him wanting the freedom to explore those opportunities you're talking about in the timetable and not causing the university harm.
Right, because the idea being that if somebody does not get traction with the coach they're looking for, Belichick would have been the emergency guy they'd call if it's a $10 million buyout now to get him.
Right.
And then further on down the road, he's entrenched, I guess, there in North Carolina. It is still like, this made no sense to me yesterday. After hearing the man speak today, it makes less sense. I mean, if you want to do this, we saw Bill O'Brien do it and have a level of success. Lane Kiffin was technically in the pros, went back to college after, albeit the Raiders briefly.
And I've always seen him as a college coach.
Me too. I don't really consider that. I don't know, man. Belichick, here's the thing though. If this all works, and the money is the key. The only way that North Carolina, the only way that SMU got here is by the money and NIL and the transfer portal. So maybe he can manipulate it.
Here is Belichick saying, I am not leaving.
Pat Welter, WRL. Bill, what do you say to people that fear that if you do succeed here, that you might leave for the NFL again in a year or two?
Yeah, I didn't come here to leave.
Now, when we first heard this afternoon, because the press conference was at 2, right, when we came on the air, Carl and I were like, the North Carolina, everybody in their Carolina blue doesn't know. Yes. Yes, coach. You're not going to leave. You're not going to just be here for 2 years. Three years. You're not going to be here for just 3 years.
Did he just say he's not leaving?
Yes.
I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere. Oh, my God.
You can have my Carolina blue pullover and my whistle when you pry it from my cold, numb fingers.
Yeah, it's just
okay.
It just made me laugh, the awkwardness of that clap, because somebody in the back was like, he said he's not leaving. He's not leaving.
Right on, coach, yeah. I still think there's people in North Carolina, like my good friend. North Carolina alum, Bo Estes, who works for NBA TV, he goes, I still can't believe this is happening.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't make a lot of – now, again, I won't ever – talk in those definitive, it can never be successful. No, because as we just mentioned, non-traditional schools are in this college football playoff, and the field expands, and it may be 16 by next year. Who knows, Carl? So, and the ACC, if we're honest, is not great. You know, you can probably put a good team together and make a run.
So here's the deal. Everybody wants to look at SMU and say anything's possible and it can happen, and it is true. But to me, this is like the fifth or sixth best program in the ACC right now.
Right.
And you know, if he takes it to being the number one program, great. But I just feel like there's a lot that has to play out for this program to become competitive. And you cannot live in the portal, guys. I'm not saying that you can't help yourself. But, Mike, we were talking about this. The foundation pieces, you still have to go recruit high school kids.
Right.
You're not changing 70 kids out year in and year out and changing quarterbacks every year. You will not have consistency or success.
What Tom Brady said Sunday on NFL on Fox. He goes, you really picture Bill working that living room and doing the electric slide, all that? And Belichick says, yes, he will be going after top recruits. And, yes, he will be in those living rooms.
Here's what's funny. You know, everybody talks about Dion. Remember Dion said, I'm bringing my luggage with me, and it's Louis?
Yeah.
His son's about to be the first overall pick in the NFL draft. That's the difference. They don't have a quarterback at North Carolina. He's got to get one. Then he's got to go recruit those big offensive linemen, Mike, and then those big defensive linemen. I will never question his ability to scheme up things, but those are the things he's got to do now, and I'm curious if he'll be able to do them.
Toughest opponent next year for Belichick is Clemson on the schedule.
Oh, it's a soft schedule.
Wake Forest, Syracuse, the usual rivalry with NC State. They get TCU, Charlotte, and Richmond out of conference, plus UCF.
All right, coming up, guys, some college football, more college football as we gear up for the college football playoff. Hawks win last night, too, because we got to talk about it. And then you're going to hear Coach at the clock hour. Great conversation with Raheem Morris here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know, the college football world is wacky, man. I mean, we've been talking about this Belichick thing all day. You realize Rich Rodriguez is back with West Virginia?
Guess who's back?
I mean,
back again.
It's 17 years after he left for Michigan. And remember, everybody thought that was going to be like the thing. And he goes there, and it's a dud.
Remember how they were going to be in the BCS? They were going to be in the championship?
Oh, yeah.
And the wheels fall off.
Completely. But Rich Rodriguez, that is, was the West Virginia coach from 2001 to 2007. And they were 60-26. That's why he was one of the hottest commodities in college football.
It was almost Ryan Day-like for them. Now Ohio State's got a higher standard.
Yes.
But this was a dude that, and for those who don't remember, he, of course, was the offensive coordinator for Tommy Bowden.
That's
at
right.
Tulane, then Clemson, then took the gig up in Wheeling.
And then
in Morgantown, I should say.
Pat White and Steve Slayton.
That's correct.
Right.
Which that offense was not. I mean, Pat was cold. UNLV hiring former Florida coach Dan Mullen, Mike.
Yeah, and we looked it up. Like, are they in the? No, they didn't sign up for the Pac-12. So they're still in the Mountain West. But again, in this day and age, I don't believe you'll ever see a team in SMU's position ever get a bye and be in that where they are
Boise,
right now.
Boise.
What I say? SMU. SMU's in there. They earn it. They're in the ACC. Yeah, I'm sorry, Boise. But Boise coming out of the Mountain West. is in. Can Vegas do that? I guess UNLV made the news this year when their quarterback, who they had promised six figures, said, I quit because you're not giving me the check.
That's right.
But Dan Mullen used to recruit. Then Florida fans felt he didn't hit the recruiting trail like they expected. Like, he built that Miss State. Think about what he did at Miss State, man, in Starkville. That was impressive.
It was.
And the budgets weren't there either. You remember we talked about what the facility's like when he got to Miss State?
Yeah. UNLV, they went 10-3, and they needed to replace Barry Odom. He left for Purdue.
Right.
So that is why
they played Boise State in the Mountain West Championship.
This job opening happens. And listen, I thought I liked Dan Mullen on TV. I thought it was good. But this is how crazy and wacky the college football world is, where you have NFL coaches wanting college jobs. You have guys going back to where they were, 20 years ago. And you got Dan Mullen, who a lot of people say, well, he's done coaching, he's just going to be on TV, taking the job at UNLV. Whatever. I think, Mike, until we get to that point where you said in a couple of years, and once a judge signs off on it, where and how much money everybody can spend and where it's going to come from, and then we'll see what this looks like. But right now, it's not a fair and equitable playing field. Georgia and the Alabamas and the Texas and Ohio States of the world are still doing more and spending more,
right,
which is why Belichick asked for more money. And then we looked at the breakdown of that. And as we talk about this, guys, obviously Georgia is preparing for either Indiana or Notre Dame. And we'll continue to talk about this leading up to the start of the college football playoff on December 20th. But it's just weird, all this stuff that's happening right now.
Yeah, and then you've got, I mentioned Carl earlier in the show, how do you build your program? Don't you feel that you've got, like Kirby, you've got to take guys from high school all the way to graduation, or if they leave for the NFL. You remember from Wake Cross, Thomas Castellanos.
Yeah.
This kid winds up going to Boston College. He was under Gus Malzahn at UCF, transfers. Now they bring him to FSU. So literally going to go from DJ Uiagalelei to a kid who lost his job at Boston College. Now, Castellanos didn't fit what Bill O'Brien was doing offensively.
No, he did not.
So that's kind of a little asterisk there. But still, a lot of folks that follow Florida State are saying, are you ever going to be able to develop that stud quarterback all the way through, the way Kirby has guys stick around, the way that Carson Beck stuck around, the way that Gunnar Stockton is now hopefully going to pay dividends for Georgia?
Yeah, I think, Mike, the notion is, as long as you have the money, you're going to get the kids you want. And I would tell you that's about 30%. The other 70 or 75% of kids that you've got to get, you still have to recruit. And I still think it's important. And if you're not building that, look at what Brent Key's doing foundationally. If you're not doing that, and then again, helping yourself in the portal when need be, I just don't foresee Bill Belichick or any of these coaches, Mike, but him specifically, just going in the portal every year and paying whatever it takes to get the guys he wants. You build no consistency, and plus, right, the culture of your program is crap.
Georgia Tech has to do it the way that Kirby's doing it, and certainly, like you mentioned, Brent Key. But remember, we said this earlier, no disrespect to Georgia Tech, but if the money is there, then they can do it. SMU is an example.
Yeah.
SMU, first year in the ACC, they come in, they nearly win the championship game. But you've got to have that commitment from your big money people. And I guess, and the guys who cut the smaller checks too. But if everybody's going the same direction and you got a vision, you go get a guy that can, like Haynes King, that's the thing. You've got to, you said it all starts with the quarterback. But I don't think it's impossible that a Georgia Tech, and if a Georgia Tech can win a championship, certainly Belichick can do it. But you've got to have the loot. The loot's got to be the thing.
All right, Hawks win last night. I want to mention this because you're going to hear from Coach Raheem Morris, who talks about the plan with Michael Penix. He answers the question about a potential package. Is there a package for Penix? Could they put him into a game and maybe run a series? He answers that as well. But the Hawks last night, Mike, were great. 108-100. They beat the Knicks. They advanced in the NBA Cup. And again, it was just one of those big moments, man. Everybody's watching in the NBA because now you've gotten down to the quarterfinals. Mm. And everybody's at home like, all right, what's happening? The NBA adjusted these schedules accordingly. And so Milwaukee's waiting. And the Hawks needed to beat the Knicks in the quarters to get to the semifinals for a chance to play in the NBA Cup Finals. And last night, man, what an effort by this team.
I said it to Carl. I'll say it again for guys and girls in their car right now. Trey's full of crap. He loves being the villain. You don't practice rolling craps on the center court at the Mecca of Madison Square Garden if you don't want to take on the role of the dude in the black hat, which I said you should embrace because the Knicks fans are animals, and it was great last night.
They're animals.
They're animals up there at the Garden. It was fantastic. And if you didn't see the game, guys, it was kind of nip-tuck, and the Knicks had the lead, and then Trey goes off. He was struggling again with a three-point shot. The team struggled with it, except for DeAndre Hunter, but he makes those two threes back to back, and then everything flowing in the half court. How about the no look dunk, the alley oop?
Sweet.
I mean, you had a couple of plays down, and I just said it earlier. Where was the sense of urgency with the Knicks when it gets down to like 7 or 8 points? Call some timeouts, foul somebody. The Knicks are just like, well, I guess you're not going to Vegas now. You know, and then everybody's like, oh, what are the Knicks going to – the Knicks in 2021, well, somebody would have bum-rushed Trey on the floor. Now they'll go on a podcast and cry about it.
It's true. I mean, it's completely different. And I said to you yesterday, I was like, Thibodeau knows they beat him here, and you know, Dyson Daniels kind of got after Jalen Brunson. Right. And I thought they'd be a little bit more physical or attempt to be. We were the more physical team last night. We played better defense last night.
All the years we've been killing DeAndre Hunter, and with good reason, because especially after he got the contract extension, if I could tell you that, man, we're going up to the Garden for a game or a trip to Vegas and we're going to count on DeAndre Hunter – and he was awesome off the bench last night.
No, man. Listen, he's been the key. Yes,
please,
we did.
Germane to this conversation.
Keep that. But I still think we're playing defense right now, and that is why we were able to advance. All right, man. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. You'll hear from Coach. You're going to hear from A.J. Terrell. And then Turtle has the Bridge Show tonight, leading you into Thursday Night Football because it is Rams at 49ers. And, by the way, I like the Rams tonight. I think the Rams are on one right now, and the 49ers are really beat up. Guys, we are going to be in Washington, D.C. tomorrow for the show live. A bunch of guests there. It's going to be a great time as we get ready for Army-Navy. Make sure you're tuning in tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock. Coach Roz on the way. It's Dukes and Bell.